إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بالإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, it's a great pleasure to be back here again after several weeks. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this masjid with a sense of brotherhood and a sense of love for each other, which I physically feel when I stand here. And alhamdulillah, I think this is a unique thing that is there in this masjid. Alhamdulillah has given me the opportunity of speaking in and praying in many masjids in the world. And this is, I feel, something quite unique. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect that feeling, to always keep our hearts together, to save us from all forms of ikhtilafat and all forms of conflict, and to maintain the sense of brotherhood. Because that is the essence of Islam. The essence of Islam is the maintenance of brotherhood. It's the keeping the hearts together. It's not divisions and divisiveness and pointing fingers at each other. This is not Islam. Islam is being together. Alhamdulillah, I think this is something that Allah has been kind enough to grant us in this masjid and amongst our people here. And that is something that we should constantly make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve and make the effort to preserve it. Which means that any time you hear any divisive talk, and shaitan is always there, anytime you hear any divisive talk, immediately shut it down. Don't encourage it, don't even listen to it. Because the moment you start listening to it, then it builds. And then we know what happens as it happens all over the world. And we ask Allah to save us from that, inshallah. Today, I want to remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu revealed His kitab on His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who was the first one addressed. And through him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed all of mankind. And in this kitab, in this book of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Which means, indeed we have sent down on you, O mankind, a book in which there is ذِكْرُكُمْ, in which you have been mentioned. And this mention is to be seen in two ways. One is a mention as a means of honor, and second, a mention as in the means of being described. And Allah says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, will you not then understand? I remind myself and you that naturally it must follow that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned us in His book and told us about it, then we should look and search for ourselves in this book and look and say, what did Allah say about me? Because if Allah said, I mentioned you, then automatically it should follow, and it does follow, that we should go and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala naturally did not mention us by name, but He, Jalla Jalaluhu, mentioned different types of people in His book and described their attributes and qualities. And then He mentioned what their ending would be. It's important for us, therefore, to look to see where our own qualities fit in. And if our qualities match the qualities of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with, then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and we ask for His help to remain steadfast. If, however, we find that our qualities seem to be those of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not pleased with and who He promised to punish, then we must take heed and change our lives and rethink and retake our choices so that we fit in with the first group, the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with. So let us see who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and what and in what way He mentioned them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, Allah mentioned people and he said, Rijal, he said, men whom neither trade nor sale, neither business nor politics nor any other worldly work diverts from the remembrance of Allah, nor from establishing a salah, nor from giving zakat. They fear a day when hearts and eyes will be overturned, that Allah may reward them according to the best of their deeds and add even more for them from His mercy and from His grace. And Allah provides without measure to those who He wills. This term Rijal, Ar-Rijal, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran in several places, this is one of the places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned Ar-Rijal in Surah Al-Ahzab with regard to the people in the battle of Ahzab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ar-Rijal in Surah Al-Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Ar-Rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this word Ar-Rijal, it's a particularly honorable way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned men of honor. It's not a reference to gender as much as to the qualities of a man, which are honor and nobility and compassion and kindness and courage and integrity and faith. And as qualities, they would apply to women equally. For example, in the famous ayat in Surah An-Nisa, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna 'ala an-Nisa, which we just translate and say, men have been given authority over women. Allah did not say Ar-Dhukuru Qawwamuna 'ala an-Nisa. He did not say the males have been given authority over the females. Allah said Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna 'ala an-Nisa. So the word Rijal has a special meaning which is different from the word Dhukur or Zakar, which means male. So Ar-Rijal is not merely the fact that you wear trousers. Rijal has to do a lot more and has to do a great deal with regard to your character, with regard to the way you behave, with regard to your courage and so on and so forth. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah where He said, Rijal la tulhihim tijaratum wala bayun an dhikrillah. Men, Rijal, who are not diverted from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any of their worldly activities. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only promised these people His reward, but said that He would reward them according to the best of their deeds. Meaning that for these people, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of you among those people, Allah is saying that He will pick that one deed of that individual which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked the most, and then He would reward every other deed according to that deed. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your Hajj, and it does not have to be a big deed, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the fact that you smiled at somebody, wallah alam. But I'm saying just as an example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted one of your Hajj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of that Hajj for every single other good deed that you did. So you gave a rupee in charity, Allah will reward you that rupee in charity, Allah will reward you in keeping with the value reward of the Hajj. You said subhanallah, Allah will reward you for that subhanallah according to that Hajj. If you smiled at somebody, Allah will reward that smile and give you the reward equal to the reward of that accepted Hajj which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted from you. And then this is the mercy of my Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. After all this, Allah said, and He will give you more out of His generosity. That's why I say reflect on the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, if you look in the Quran, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned any account, any hisab with regard to reward, Allah has always added this thing. And He will increase according to His generosity. He never ends with that number. Allah never ends with that number. For example, in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that one good deed, doing one good deed is like, or giving one thing in charity is like planting one seed from which will grow a shoot, and that shoot will have 7 years, and each year has 100 seeds. So there is a number, which is 1:700. And then Allah said, and Allah will increase it as He wishes. And this is the majesty and the glory of the King of Kings, of the Malik and the Rabbul Arshil Kareem and the Malikul Haqq, the real King, where He gives without counting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of all these noble qualities which are encompassed in the meaning of the word Rijal, as it is used in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the foundation of them all, which is the remembrance and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La tulhihim, Allah said, tijarat, business and so on and so forth, does not stop them. And this word tulhihim is really refers to what we know in Urdu as halakat, which means destruction. So the forgetfulness with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the opposite of dhikr is ghafla. So ghafla with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling this destruction. It's not just forgetfulness. Forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to destroy yourself. And Allah said, these people do not allow their business and so on and so forth to destroy themselves. They don't allow that to destroy them by forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the constant awareness of His grace and majesty is something which is life-giving, and which is a weak example is breathing. And I'm saying weak example because if the breathing stops, you die in this world. But if the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops, then you die in this world and the next world. Death in the sense of there is no death in the next world, but the death in the next world meaning that there is only loss. And we ask Allah to save us from that. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a function of intelligence. Remembrance is not simply mechanically repeating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, but actively reflecting on our connection with Him and the responsibility that this entails in terms of how we should live our lives in this world as a means of goodness for all. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned remembering Him constantly as a sign of intelligence and a sign of understanding, where He said in, again, Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of night and day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding. Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always standing, sitting and lying down on their sides. And they reflect and think deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, our Rabb, we have not created, you have not created all this without purpose. Glory to you, and give us salvation from the punishment of the fire. Those of you who are interested, there is a full lecture of mine on these ayat. It's on our channel on YouTube. Do watch it, because I have explained this whole thing in a lot of detail with respect to our lives and what we need to do. So the first sign of intelligence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here is to recognize and worship our Creator and to remember that we have to return to Him one day. All intelligence begins with this knowledge. It begins with the knowledge of who you are. And who you are relates to who you are with respect to, in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. So the first sign of intelligence is to recognize the Creator and to remember that we will return to Him one day. And that only if we are then judged as being winners will we truly be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the sequence of teaching and learning in these ayat of Surah Al-Imran. And in that lecture of mine, I've explained that in detail. A sequence of teaching and learning that we have ignored to our own detriment and created a completely ridiculous education system that trashes 15 years of a child's life and serious amounts of cash, so that at the end of that period the child emerges from the system completely incapable of taking care of itself. Confidence destroyed, creativity demolished, head full of unrelated ideas and pieces of data which he has no idea what to do with, and without a clue about what it wants from life. We call that rather bad joke education and schooling. Ask yourself how many job advertisements for anything other than perhaps doormen that you have seen which call for high school graduation as a basic qualification. If you don't believe me, send your high school graduate out into the world and tell them that they must stay away for 1 month and not go to any relatives or friend's house for help, and then at the end of 1 month they must come back home and they must earn their living without begging. For most of them, that will be the last that you will see of them. Imagine they spent 15 years of their life and you spent serious amounts of cash for this goal. Yet nobody questions this rubbish, nor does anyone make any attempt to change this entirely ridiculous state of affairs. And if you think I'm saying this here, I'm not saying this here. This is the actual passage that I took out from my speech 2 weeks ago in Oxford at the International Conference on Education. The amazing thing is everybody agrees. And that's what beats me, because if everybody agrees, how come the same system continues? Education is or should be more than literacy. If not, why do we need to spend 15 years doing it? You don't need 15 years to be literate. You need 15 days. Ask any child, do this when you go home, ask your child what he or she remembers of school with real pleasure. They will tell you about their friends, they will tell you about the games they played, they will tell you about all the stuff that they did in their own time. In short, they will mention everything except what you paid for, which is academics. So why do it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us a better way, but you ignore it. Use the method Allah taught us, which I call integrated holistic teaching, and you will raise children who are engines of energy connected to Allah, who speak to Him and He gives them what they ask Him for. Your call, because they're your children. So who are the rijal who don't allow business, politics, academics or anything else of this world to make them forget Allah? They are those who recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who remember Him standing, sitting and lying down. People of intelligence and understanding. They are those who then use the intelligence that Allah gave them in research, invention, creation, innovation, and creating of systems and methods of adding value to life, to alleviate suffering, and to fight injustice. They are not people who spend 1,000 times more money on armaments than what it will take to eliminate hunger, disease, and poverty from the world. 2014 figures, $1.7 trillion was spent on weapons, when the United Nations says that to completely eliminate hunger, poverty, to give clean drinking water and basic education to 50% of the world population, which doesn't have it, but 3 billion people, what it will take is $58 billion. What is spent on armaments is $1.7 trillion. This is intelligence. Wearing a suit doesn't make you intelligent. It makes you a tailor's dummy. And yet we have tailor's dummies running the world. And we think nothing of it and suffer for their misdeeds. Truly we live by and die by our own choices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the true measure of success. And He said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, every living soul will taste death. And only on the day of resurrection, on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, will you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is saved from and removed away from the fire and admitted to Jannah, indeed he or she is successful. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. The life of this world is deception. Over the last 4-5 days, I've been doing a series of Fajr reminders on these. Those of you who listen to that, you will remember this ayah. The key is to remember that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge, and only He will decide unaided by our advice. So if we want to win, we have to conform to His standard and not to whatever our cool worldly advisors tell us. If not, wait until you see the angels and you will know it yourself. Except that it will be too late to do anything about it then. So we have seen what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the winners, their qualities and their ending. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this for every one of you. Now let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who consider themselves to be real cool and who seek to lead others along their paths to their destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا وَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so when they forgot the warning with which they had been reminded, we opened to them the gates of every pleasant thing, until in the midst of their enjoyment in that which they were given, all of a sudden we took them to punishment, and lo, they were plunged into destruction with deep regret and sorrows, broken in spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that when people disobeyed Him and when they became rebellious and when they continued to deny Him, that He immediately punished them. On the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He not only did not punish them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened on them means to do even more disobedience. Allah gave them more money and more wealth and more name and fame and so on and so forth, so that they got lost in it. And then suddenly they are caught and brought to task. We ask Allah to save us from that kind of an ending. So time to decide. Who are you? Who am I? A slave of Allah or another God in opposition to Allah? The reason I'm asking this question to myself and you is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said a very strange thing. In Surah Al-Alaq, towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wasjud waqtarib. Wasjud waqtarib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go into sujood, fall prostrate, make sajda and come close. Now please note, Allah did not say stand up and come close, walk and come close, run and come close, all of which would have made sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead saying, fall into sujood and come close. Now I'm saying this sounds strange because in prostration, a person can't even move. He can't defend himself. He can't speak with authority. He can't argue. He can't fight. He can't do anything that conveys his personality, that conveys his confidence, that conveys his pride, his authority, his will. The prostration is the ultimate position of surrender, of complete helplessness, of putting yourself at the mercy of the one you are prostrating to. And that is why sujood is haram to anyone other than Allah. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, fall in sajda and draw near? Fall in sajda and come close. That's because it is only the right of the slave to draw near to the owner. It is only the right of the slave to seek strength from the power of his owner. to seek knowledge from his wisdom and protection from his anger. It is only the slave who can throw himself at the mercy of his owner and expect to be pardoned and rewarded. It's only the slave who can expect the help of his owner when he stands forth in the face of opposition to order other slaves who have become rebellious to become obedient. My brothers and sisters, obedience is at the root of all goodness. For the one who says, Allah wants, but I also want, well, it's for him to make tawbah and fall into sujood. Otherwise, he will stand in opposition to the creator of the universe. He will stand in opposition to his own creator, on whom he depends for every breath. I don't need to say more. And that's why we must realize that it doesn't matter that you can't move in sujood, because it is Allah's mercy which will draw you close to him. So let's make up our minds. Do we want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our heads in sujood before his arsh? Or do you want to face him standing up tall and looking defiantly at him? For the one in sujood, he Jalla Jalaluhu will ask you to raise your head and he will make you stand. But if you are among the latter, I ask Allah to protect us from that. If you are among those who will stand tall and look defiantly at Allah, then believe me, you will not stand for too long. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about one such self-made man and his ending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة من هو أشد منه قوة وأكثر جمعا ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون فخرج على قومه في زينته قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم وقال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون فخسفنا به وبداره الأرض فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان من المنتصرين وأصبح الذين تمنوا مكانه بالأمس يقولون ويكأن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر لولا أمن الله علينا لخسف بنا ويكأنه لا يفلح الكافرون
الله سبحانه وتعالى said in سورة القصص He mentioned Qarun. Allah said, verily Qarun was of the people of Musa, but he behaved arrogantly towards them, and we gave him of the treasures, that of which the keys would have been a burden to a body of strong men. Now imagine what kind of, Allah is not talking about the treasures, Allah is only talking about the keys. The keys to the treasure house of Qarun, Allah said, if it took a whole company of strong men, they would not have been able to lift those keys. They were so heavy. So what about what was in the treasures? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this was this person. And then when his people said to him, do not rejoice without being thankful to Allah. Because Allah does not like those who are ungrateful to Him, who rejoice without gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without thanking Allah for His favors. So the people advised him. And they said, but seek with that wealth which Allah has bestowed on you the home of the hereafter. Do something for your own akhirah with that wealth. And use it for yourself as well in this world. And do not forget the portion of your legal portion of enjoyment. And do good as Allah has been good to you. And do not seek mischief in the land. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the mufsidun, the people who are tyrants, who are oppressors, who are mischief makers. So what does he say? He says, this is mine. He says, I got this because of my competence, because of my knowledge. He says, this has been given to me only because of the knowledge I possess. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a rhetorical question. And Allah says, does he not know that Allah had destroyed before him generations, men who were stronger than him and greater in amount of riches that they had collected? But the mujrimun will not be questioned about their sins, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows them well, and they will be punished without account. May Allah save us from this. And notice that Allah has used the term mujrimun. Allah did not say kafirun. Allah did not say mushrikun. Allah says mujrimun, which includes Muslims. Which includes Muslims. So Qarun then came out and he went forth before his people in his pomp and splendor. And we see this kind of behavior. I'm not saying that every time you see that the person is necessarily somebody like Qarun. But I'm saying you see this. The whole term of Amal Hayatu Dunya Illa Mata'ul Ghurur, that the life of this world is only an imaginary thing. I remember the first time the true meaning of this ayat struck me was because I was reflecting on it, thinking on it, and I say, why does Allah say it is imaginary? Because a Rolls Royce is not imaginary. You know, a Bentley is not imaginary. I had a green one before I got a black one. So it's not imaginary, right? So my point is, then why is Allah saying this is imaginary? Until it struck me that a Rolls Royce is not transportation. A Rolls Royce is a statement that you have no clue about how to manage your finances. That you're putting serious amounts of money into a depreciating asset. So it's a statement. It's not transportation, right? Wearing a watch which costs you $50,000 and more, you don't wear that to tell the time. You wear that to tell the world that you have arrived at the state of complete incompetence, which is Murphy's law, that everyone rises to his level of incompetence. So these are statements. So this is the figment of the imagination. It's not real. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when he came out in his Rolls Royce, the equivalent of that in those days, what did people say? Think to yourself and reflect in yourself, what do you say when you see signs of pomp and splendor all around? So he went forth, and the people who were desirous of the life of this world, they said, ah, would that we had the like of what Qarun has been given. Verily he has a great fortune. That is my dream. Piece of junk. Future junk. My dream. I dream of something worthwhile, you know, dream of something worthwhile. At least dream of the Rolls Royce factory. I mean, why do you want to dream of one car? At least dream of the factory. Then you get the car for free. No? Seriously, I mean, I'm coaching a bunch of young people who are demented enough to think that I'm a mentor. And one of the things I tell them that is that what amazes me is their dreams. Alhamdulillah, they have some, but what amazes me of this generation is the dreams. They don't have them. They don't have them. We have created a generation which has no dreams for the future. seriously, we need to do something about this. So here is, that's the dream. Allah is saying, what kind of a dream is that? You see somebody's gold and whatnot, and you say, oh, I wish I had that. That's rubbish. That's trash. You have to worry about the thing being stolen in this life. And if you die with that stuff, then you have to answer to Allah for it. What sense does it make? I mean, why would you want to have stuff that you have to answer to Allah for? I mean, it makes zero sense. And this is what the Quran is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, there is Qarun going along and people are saying, oh man, I wish I had that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but they were among them people who had some knowledge of religion, who understood. And they said to them, woe to you. What's wrong with you? He said, Allah's reward in the hereafter is better for those who believe and do righteous good deeds. And none will attain that except those who have sabr. Who work hard and work for the long haul. And then Allah said, and so we caused the earth to swallow him up with his treasures and with his palace. And then he had no group or party to help him against Allah, nor was he one of those who could save themselves. So all that wealth didn't help him. And those who had desired a position like his position the day before, they began to say, do you not know that Allah is the one who enlarges your provision or restricts it to whomsoever he pleases? And had it not been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was gracious to us, he could have caused the earth to swallow us up also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you not know that the disbelievers will never be successful? My brothers and sisters in Islam, that's why I always say, the worst, most dangerous phrase in the language is, I want. Because it makes a slave forget his place. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to grant your du'as and to enable you to ask for that which is beneficial to you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you what you ask and then to give you more from his generosity. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away your pain and suffering and to take away all your hajat and to provide for you from sources that you cannot imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of you completely and totally obedient to himself and completely and totally on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.